becoming an entrepreneur. And it really is not for everybody. And it's not a journey that I would recommend for everybody, because it can be very, very stressful and it can be very, very daunting and very, very difficult. But I think daunting and difficult and challenging are the very features that build our character and make us who we are. If you have an easy path through life, you may not be living to your full potential, nor be as fascinating as your capacity within you.
Are you ready to hear business stories and learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and level up your business from awesome CEOs, entrepreneurs, and founders without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresh values your time and is ready to share with you the valuable info you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Adam Von Gucken. Adam, excited to have you on the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, super excited to have you on and talk about all the awesome things that you're doing, and so the audience can learn a little bit more about you. And of course, before we do that, I want to read a little bit more about Adam so you can hear about some of those awesome things. And a lifelong entrepreneur, Adam Von Gucken, pedigree is in the spirits industry, dates back to his family's distillery in the 1800s. While his lineage as a risk taker can be traced directly to his great-grandfather's Prohibition-era speakeasy and shipping operations on the Connecticut River. Adam is a global innovator in the spirits industry, bringing his family's legacy into the next generation by co-founding Onyx Spirits Co., an award-winning craft distillery offering America's first ultra-premium moonshine and New England's first whiskey. In 2015, his nationally released book, Living Proof, Onyx's Moonshine Journey to Revive the American Spirit, chronicled his unique approach to the traditional business principles. Adam's next venture could take him from the New England coastline to the rolling grasslands of the English countryside into one of the most famous homes in the world. And in 2017, he partnered with the 8th Earl and Countess of Carnarvon, the owners of Highclere Castle, known as the Real Downtown Abbey, creating the Highclere Castle Cigar Company and Highclere Castle Spirits, where he launched an award-winning cigar in the world's most awarded gin. He's an advisor to the Queen's Commonwealth Trust and a founding trustee of the Royal Ethiopian Trust, advisors to His Imperial Highness Prince Hermias Selassie. Adam is committed to bringing ultra-luxury global products born of distinctly authentic brands rooted in the uniqueness of their terroir and provenance. In a central celebration of history, authenticity, and irreplaceable pedigree, he is committed to sustaining agricultural and manufacturing processes. And what I really loved, I didn't love the introduction as much as I was saying, I love everything he's doing, but he's a man that has accomplished a lot of numerous things. He's been a keynote speaker for Dale Carnegie's 110th International Convention, been featured on Bloomberg, Forbes, Fortune, NBC, ABC, and I really loved his TED Talk. It's extremely impactful. One of the things that I took from it is he said that we are who we are because of the people that came before us. So, Adam, excited to have you on the show. Are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, I was really impressed with that read, because I didn't realize how much of a mouthful my bio actually was until you just read it out loud.
So, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. For the next time you come on the show, I'm going to say it three times fast. So that's going to be something that everybody's going to want to tune in for. I'm excited to have you as well, too. So I guess to kick everything off, I know obviously I touched on it a little bit. I wanted to rewind the clock a little bit, hear a little bit more on how you got started with all the awesome work you're doing, what I call your CEO story.
Yeah, sure. College wasn't really for me. So I only lasted about a semester. And then I went on to start a series of my first businesses that were outside of the spirits business, of course, where my expertise falls now. Through that process, keep in mind, I'm 40 now, so that was 22 years ago. My family was very disappointed. In fact, the first chapter of my book is called McDonald's, Military, or College. And that was the advice that my guidance counselor gave me, were my three options in life. And this is 22 years ago. It was before the time that I think society really got behind becoming an entrepreneur. And it really is not for everybody. And it's not a journey that I would recommend for everybody, because it can be very, very stressful and it can be very, very daunting and very, very difficult. But I think daunting and difficult and challenging are the very features that build our character and make us who we are. If you have an easy path through life, you may not be living to your full potential, nor be as fascinating as your capacity within you could be. And so leaving college early and having to figure out my own way was really the kind of beginnings of, I think, who I've become as a man, as an entrepreneur, certainly as a father. And it wasn't really until I was about in my mid-20s that I found a real passion and a love for distilled spirits and everything about them, from the farming side to the branding and marketing side of things, distribution, and really just brand building. And it's a really beautiful art form in a way, not unlike fashion, the fashion industry, or even like being a chef. You're really working with these raw base ingredients. You're working with farmers or your own land. And all we end up seeing is being at that sexy nightclub or restaurant with the beautiful bottle on the shelf. But the people that are behind that and all the effort and money and resource and know-how that it takes to bring that to life deeply inspired me. And from there on forward, I was hooked.
Nice. I absolutely love that. I wanted to drill down a little bit more, hear about all the awesome things that you're working on and impact that you have. Could you take us through exactly like how you're making an impact in the world and in the universe?
Yeah, my primary business is Highclere Castle Gin. So in this business, I had built the distillery, as you mentioned earlier, here in Connecticut. And that's where I really learned the ropes of the industry. We were using some of our own corn farmland and spring water to make this moonshine, which was a celebration of the spirit of New England that my ancestors made a long, long time ago, and other people did as well. And it was where I learned the art of distribution. And it's where we sophisticated up, I think, our understanding of finance and marketing and branding and all those kind of things. And at some point, I really realized that I felt we as a team, and I felt I as a CEO and entrepreneur, was prepared to take a brand global. And so I started looking at where does a brand live that is deeply authentic, which is very, very important to me, has an element of craft to it, is still in that kind of sphere of luxury, that I felt had a story that was not being quite told in a particular way. And that's what led me to Highclere Castle. I'm of British heritage. To be honest with you, I was selfishly looking for an excuse to spend more time in England. And so I was looking across the pond and I was pondering maybe this is where my next brand and business should be rooted. And I learned about Highclere Castle through the same way that about 300 million other people did, through a TV series called Downton Abbey, which is now the single most watched TV series of all time. And I was enchanted by it. And when I learned that it was a real place called Highclere Castle, I reached out to the castle as a cold email. And the next day the phone rang. And it was the Earl of Carnarvon, godson to Her Late Majesty Queen Elizabeth. And I did not expect that to happen. And we had a wonderful conversation. And a few weeks later, I was on my way over to the castle to stay for the weekend at the invitation of Lord and Lady Carnarvon, which was also not expected. And from that was born a great friendship. And I think we quickly found a shared vision in that I wanted to bring the spirit of Highclere Castle to life, no pun intended. But by celebrating the botanicals that grew around the estate and by celebrating Highclere's legacy for entertainment and hospitality, because they've been hosting kings and queens and royalty and celebrities and statesmen and poets and all the most fascinating people of the world for 400 years at Highclere, and they still do today. And every evening starts with gin cocktails. So I wanted to celebrate that little tiny corner of what Highclere Castle represents in a fun and a sexy way, that people could celebrate the earth of Highclere all around the world, to take part in the celebration that is Highclere Castle. And thus was born Highclere Castle Gin. And we're now the most awarded gin in the world in just a few short years. So we're very proud of the work we've done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so exciting to hear that, especially here. I don't know if you feel the same way, that this is part of your secret sauce, the thing you feel, because you or the brand, a part of it makes you unique. And you seem to have an ability to be able to see the forest for the trees and not lose sight of that human part. And I think when you talked about the joy, the excitement, all those feelings that we have, we sometimes forget that as products or services or things that we have or create or do, that we are actually creating that human experience. And we have the opportunity to be able to create joy, happiness, that whatever it is, you have that ability to do that. Do you feel like your ability to have that awareness and pulse on that is part of what sets you apart and makes you unique?
I hope it is. I'm deeply disappointed in the activities that a lot of market leaders in the United States do. Because if we really cared about the customer and their experience, we wouldn't put 138 items in what it takes to make their food or a bag of chips. We wouldn't poison our own people for the sake of a dollar. And there's many other practices that have gone on in many across many different industries that are very, very disappointing to me. I think that we as leaders in business have an obligation for responsible entrepreneurship. And the moment we stop chasing that extra dollar and we start getting back to what business should be, which is providing a service or product to customers with the responsibility that goes with that, we'll be a better country. We'll have healthier, happier customers. And I think the brand will last longer. And many great CEOs that I've gotten to know are absolutely subscribing to that philosophy now. Sadly, it's a relatively new philosophy, which is preposterous. But I think companies are being, unfortunately, they're being forced to go that way, which is all this and that. But now they've got ways to trick you on labeling for all natural and organic and stuff. So it's getting harder and harder to trust. Just like with politics, it's getting harder and harder to trust. And so people, more than ever, are getting their truth from other places like the internet, which is equally hard to trust. So I think we've got a society culture problem right now where there's a deep lack of trust. And we are capitalists. So I think we as capitalists, as entrepreneurs, as CEOs, we can set the tone and we can take a little bit of that hit. We can forge that new path and say, no, I'm determined to be authentic with what I'm promising my customers. And if that fundamentally means that my margins go down from 72% to 64% because I'm not going to produce the glass for my gin in China. We're making it in England because we say it's made in England. Then I'm going to take that margin hit. And customers over time will understand that when we say something, we're not kidding around.
Yeah. And that's so powerful to be able to say that. And I wanted to switch gears a little bit. And I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or even a habit that you have. But what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
Running a couple of businesses with three children at home, I have to tell you, I have no hacks right now. I'm exhausted. Deeply so. And I'm not even kidding around. But I will say this. I think for me, I'm very committed to my faith as a Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. I find that prayer and meditation and a good old-fashioned run, a few miles of a run, those things together can take care of just about anything. I'm also, I take deep investment in pride over the people that I keep around me, other entrepreneurs and CEOs specifically, and some mentors who I spend quality time with, who help me think through challenges in a different way and a different perspective. And I think for me at this stage of my life where I'm at right now, we're having some people with wisdom that I can really rely on, you know, staying true to prayer and meditation, even if it's for 2 minutes, and going for a nice run around the neighborhood. That's normally enough to get my head right and kind of get me where I need to see clearly and think clearly.
Yeah, I appreciate those. So what would you consider to be what I call a little bit more of a CEO nugget? So that could be a word of wisdom or a piece of advice. It might be something if you were to hop into a time machine this time, you might tell your younger business self.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think that goes back to really fundamentally around the team that you keep around you, the management team and such. I people say the customer's always right, or customer comes first. And I really do think it's the team and the employees that come first, because they represent you, they represent the brand. And if you instill in them the importance of customer, then you're going to deliver the customer ultimately what you want. My nugget, the lessons I've learned over time that I'm still will admit I'm not always great at, is firing faster and hiring scalably bigger quicker. Or hiring the kind of senior veteran when that time needs to come. It would definitely be around that kind of family, managing the team and knowing when to fire, knowing when to hire at the point that you need to solve that next evolution of the business. Matter of fact, we're going through a big evolution, you know, right now that's going to be very important, the moves and decisions that I make in the next, you know, coming months.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So what would be your answer to my absolute favorite question, the definition of what it means to be a CEO? And our goal is to have different quote-unquote CEOs on their show. So Adam, what does being a CEO mean to you?
It means to dream the strategy, guide the tactics, and inspire the team and the customers.
I love that. Dream, guide, and inspire. They're so powerful words that I think so many times, as we talked about, like some of these innovations, these things, they didn't exist before, but it takes somebody able to dream, able to actually guide that to come to fruition and inspire those that are around you. And I, what I hear in that is like each stage of the journey and how you have to continue to have that journey. Even as you talked about the nuances within your brand, making sure people understand each of those aspects and why is part of like why you end up inspiring and being that leader and that CEO.
Hope so.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're doing it phenomenally well. So Adam, truly appreciate that definition. Of course, appreciate your time even more. So what I wanted to do now is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional that you can let our readers and listeners know. And of course, how best people get a hold of you, find out about all the awesome things you and your team are working on.
I think this was an excellent interview and you asked some fantastic questions that were thought-provoking and even had to think for them. So I enjoy it when certainly the interviewer is well-versed in this. Which obviously you are. I would say that if you're into spirits, give our Hightower Castle gin a try. If you're into cigars, try the Hightower Castle cigar. It's one of the top 25 ranked cigars by Cigar Aficionado, and our gin is now the most awarded super premium gin in the world. Anybody can visit us by going to HightowerCastleGin.com, get a bottle delivered to your house, or get some cocktail recipes and learn about some of our history and heritage. And yeah, I hope to see you somewhere cool to enjoy a cocktail with you soon.
There you go. Absolutely. And to make it even easier, obviously, we're going to have the links and information in the show notes as well, too, so that everybody can get a glass, a bottle, or just the connect as well, too. But I truly appreciate you, obviously, taking time out today, and I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
You're amazing. You too. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by CB Nation and Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Want to level up your business even more? Read blogs, listen to podcasts, and watch videos at cbnation.co. Also, check out our I Am CEO Facebook group. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless Jr. Thank you for listening.